have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hello, my name is Glenda Johnson, better known as G. Johnson. When I'm not busy, I like tuning in to Elations Radio on Saturday nights with Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr., where the topic of discussion is making marriage meaningful. It appeals to the saved and the unsaved. It's for couples who are married, couples who are thinking about marriage, and for those who are divorced yet considering remarriage. Now, this discussion, making marriage meaningful, is the most explicit, authentic relationship talk live here on Elations Radio. So save the date and time on your calendar. We look forward to hearing and seeing from you at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 9 o'clock p.m. Central. So tune in to the broadcast and be blessed. Amen.
His presence, press in Welcome to Making Marriage Meaningful. This is your host, Apostle Irvin Whitlow.
Well, while we get Apostle Whitlow on the line, I'm Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard, Jr., and we want to...
What in the world is going on? Well, hello, good evening. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank God for you tonight. Thank you, Bishop-elect. For some reason, the phone didn't want to call in tonight. It wanted to act funny. But I told that phone, hey, you don't rule me. I rule you. Anyway,
well, bro,
welcome.
I was going to say, it fits
meaningful.
Me too, bro.
It does them things. But welcome. I'm so happy to have you today. Listen, it has been a long time. I have not seen y'all in a year. I mean, the last time we were together was 2021, and it's 2022. So we say thank God. Hallelujah. He brought us over. We is here. We send our condolences to the Sidney Poitier family and their loss. And we thank God that he yet kept us alive to be able to tell the story. Look at here. We are here with Making Marriage Meaningful. And I'm your host, Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr. I'm excited to be back with you. It's been so long. I forgot what some of you look like, what some of you sound like, and what others of you are like, point blank, period. But we are here tonight, and we're going to do some talking. I want to share something with you. We're going to start a new series on tonight. But before I do that, I want to put this disclaimer out there. I want to put this disclaimer out there that this conversation is real, it's raw, it's relevant. It's going to touch things that you really deal with in your life when it comes to your marital relationship, your courting relationship, your sporting relationship, your dating relationship, whatever relationship you may be having, your friend, your flirtationship, your less than a relationship but more than a friend. We want to talk about all these things and help you along the way. Now, I will tell you, I do not claim to be a relationship expert. I just share things based upon what God has shared with me and revealed to me over the course of years of life, of being in relationships, in marriages, whatnot. I did say marriages. Yes, I've been there. I have done that. Okay, but God has been good and faithful and has given me some wisdom to share with you. If you will partake of it, I promise that it will bless you real good. Now, I don't do this by myself. I got a group of wonderful folk who join me, and I'm excited about them, and I'm going to do a roll call and find out who is here with me tonight. First of all, I thank God for the producer of our show. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be able to be here tonight. Let me say good evening and welcome to the one and only Dr. Kimmy Robinson. Dr. Kimmy, how you doing?
I am doing great. Kimmy Kim is here, so let's do it. I haven't seen you guys since 2021, so let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Amen.
Okay, I'm going to do it.
Amen. And it's because of this individual that this actual show was launched, because he is the host of The Pastor's Corner. He is also a great pastor, great man of God, a married man who has had some experiences. And him and I, we are brothers from other mothers, and we got some history between us, and we get to fussing and we get to fighting because we love to talk about what is right, and that's just it. I'm talking about the one, the only Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard, Jr. Are you with us, sir?
Yes, sir. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, where would we be? Welcome back, Apostle. Happy New Year to you. Looking forward to God doing some amazing things in you, with you, through you, for you, by you, and to you. So let's get this party started.
Amen. There's another brother who's there from another mother. And this one is the he's the one that's, you know, Nick Cannon got a show called Wildin' Out. This is the one who's wildin' out. I mean, when he say something, he say something, and he be wild, he be out, but he be right on with the word. I'm trying to tell you, he is a doctor of theology. He is a preacher's preacher. Even though he calls himself a Sunday school teacher, he is a reacher because he's going to get to you when he wants to. He is the pastor of Morning Star Church, and he is the presiding prelate of Volume of the Book Deliverance Ministries International Incorporated. I am talking about the one, the only Chief Apostle Vincent L. Smith. Come on, man of God, say something to us.
Have you seen your love face on the radio? Everywhere I go, every people here. Have you seen us? Tell me, have you seen her? Sheena. Oh, why? Oh, I'm sorry.
Did you have to leave her?
I thought this was a Motown review. I'm sorry. God bless you tonight. Glad to be here. Glad to talk about all the wonderful things of dating, marriage, in between, and yet beyond. That we're going to talk about tonight.
Mr. Messiah.
Man, amen. So glad to have you. So glad to have you. Let me check. We got this new young lady who comes in, and she's the one who will tell you don't come for her if she ain't sent for you. And I mean, and that is just her thing. She's a great woman of God. She's a recently affirmed apostle. Amen. Got a great ministry with Anointed to Conquer. I'm talking about the one, the only apostle, Felicia E. Flight. Are you with us tonight, woman of God?
Praise the Lord. Everybody, praise the Lord. Listen, y'all know, and that's why Mary had a little lamb. Don't come for me and mine because I ain't sent for nobody. Don't try me. Try Jesus.
Well, that's what's up. That's what's up. Gotta try Jesus. I'm with you on that. Try Jesus. You'll find out he's all right. Let me see. I've been waiting because I just know that they are here. I am certain that they are here. I am talking about Brother Otis and Lady Otis Gabriel. Come on and say hello to us this evening and Happy New Year.
Hello and Happy New Year to everybody on the line this evening.
Scared the life out of me that time.
I knew they were here. I noted it. I just noted it. Praise God. So glad to have y'all tonight. Thank God for y'all. And we're excited that y'all are with us. And so when you're here and your wife is here, then I know that your brother, Reverend Billy Gabriel, is here. Come on and say hello to us, man of God.
And a happy, and hello, and a happy, happy New Year to all of you as well. What's up for 2022?
That's what's up. That's what's up. So happy to have each and every one of you. Now, I don't want to miss anybody, so if you're here and I haven't called your name, please let me know so that I can identify you, so that I can identify you, because I would certainly love to let people know that you're here. In Jesus' name. Amen. Are you here? Will you talk to me? Will you say something? Going once, going twice. In the name of Jesus Christ, we out. We're going to go on our way. All right, so this is what I want to do tonight. I want to trouble Reverend Billy Gabriel to lead us in a word of prayer. I will give you a scripture and let you know where we're headed tonight and then go on from there. All right, come on, if you will, please, Reverend Billy, give us our opening prayer.
And to God be the glory. Father, Lord God, we come to you tonight. We come with our hearts filled with love and thanksgiving for your love, for your mercy and your grace and your protection. And all that you are, God, we give you thanks as we are now at our first week at our brand new year. A time for our new beginnings and new blessings, dear God. the renewal of our spirits and for our preservation. And I thank you. And as we journey through this, embark on this journey, and not knowing the things ahead of us, we are faithful in knowing that you will guide us and in new areas and new directions, dear God, and to help us that we may be able to help others along the way. And I pray, Heavenly God, you will fill in our hearts that we should find someone or anyone struggling or trying to find their way. Help us, dear God, to come together and just to share them and put the light in their way, that they may find their way and know that you are the light of the world, that you are our guide and our protector. And there's nothing that we may be going through in our lives that we are not able to overcome. And we are grateful for the God, for those on the line, for whatever the areas that they might be are interested in. And hope, dear God, that you give them this powerful light that will shine, that we may glorify you in heaven, Lord God, and that our actions match our words, and all our words match our actions, as a in regards to your acknowledgement that we are a children of God. Help us, dear God, in the midst of all the areas and crises that may confront us. We pray, Heaven, that you help us to move that mountain. And as regard for those families, Lord God, I am still reminiscent of that recent tragedy or our situation that so many of the families that endured on Highway Interstate I-95, that was a crisis, Heaven, Father, that they many were not without their medical attention, water, food of gas as they struggle in the dark. And Father, I know and I thank you for the opportunity for those who persevere and those who remain faithful and awaited with patience, without fear, and without regards of death, faith, God, that you pull them through. And then that sound or the clearance of the highway was a great relief, such as it is in our lives. So whatever thing we may be going through, dear God, we wait for that clarion call, that call that you're saying, peace, be still. And as we come to God, let's open our hearts and our minds, our spirit, as we share the Iraqahood and the proper healing of making our marriages and situations work. This, Lord God, I pray in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Let me read this to you. Out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 verses 17 and 18, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us unto himself by Christ Jesus, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I'm going to go far-fetched tonight and begin a series entitled Let's Stay Together. Let's stay together. Now, I need you to walk with me, because we're only going to go so far tonight, but I want to build a foundation to be able to talk about this for the next few days as the Lord will lead me to. But something that the Lord spoke to me from this scripture, and he said to tell the people who are listening, and we welcome those of you who are watching by way of Facebook. We haven't gotten to the place where we can do TikTok yet. We haven't loaded up Instagram and these other things. And at the time we come that we shall, we will. But the Lord said to tell the people that marriage ministry, listen at me carefully, marriage ministry is really the ministry of reconciliation. And I'm sitting here And I'm thinking, okay, God, you're going to have to help me to explain this to a people so that we can make marriage meaningful. He said marriage ministry is the ministry of reconciliation. So first, let me make sure we implement this here, that marriage is a ministry. Let me say it again. Marriage is a ministry. And by the word ministry, we mean it is a service. So marriage is a service. It is a service of things that are provided between two individuals, particularly a man and a woman, where they care for each other, they comfort one another, they commit to one another, they contribute to one another, they communicate with one another because they belong to one another, so they offer services to one another. Okay, in other words, he may go out and get the meal or get the ingredients for the meal, and she in turn serves by creating the meal by the things that he has gotten. That is how they serve one another. She may need transporting somewhere, and he gets the transportation to get her there. It is a service. So marriage is a ministry, which is a service. But he said, but real marriage ministry is the ministry of reconciliation. So let me explain that. Reconciliation really means adjustment of a difference. Oh, boy, here we're going to go somewhere tonight. It is an adjustment of a difference. And then it is restoration to favor, which tells me that there are things that happen in marriage that creates a difference and it stops favors. Boy, ain't nothing worse than being in a marriage where favors have stopped. Because when there's no favors, boy, you lose the whole flavor of the marriage and things go completely sour, and then you really sitting there like, what do I do now? So understand what I'm saying. Marriage ministry is really the ministry of reconciliation, and reconciliation is adjustment of a difference, and restoration to favor. Two very important things, which says that in a marriage, there are going to be differences. Notice again, and we say this over and over again, that in the marital vows, there are certain words that we must adhere to. It says, will you take so-and-so to be your lawfully wedded husband or wife? And cherish them above all others, forsaking all others in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, so long as you both shall live under the eyes and the hand of God. These are some things that we must come to the reality of, that marriage is going to have some differences. Why? Because those individuals, those variables that are part of the marriages are going to have some differences. Why? Because one may be poor, the other one may be sick, and one may be looking for the better when they're actually experiencing the worst. And so therefore, this is where there has to be an adjustment of difference, so that there can be restoration to favor. A bishop-elect has said this on a number of occasions, that there is no such thing as irreconcilable differences. It is just that some people refuse to want to work through the differences. And that's why the ministry of reconciliation is so important, because it's an adjustment of a difference, meaning we may not see eye to eye. We may not be able to work on that same page together. But if we make an adjustment, we can make some things happen for the marriage. I really believe in the crevices of my heart down in my sanctified pinky toe, that nobody gets married just to get divorced. I believe that people get married because they want to experience marital bliss. But the reality is we are people of differences, different ideas, different concepts, different upbringings, different experiences, different educations, different environments. And so these things contribute to what causes a difference in marriage. But when you look at it as a ministry, then you must understand that it is really a ministry of reconciliation. Let me say this, and then we're going to go further. So I was considering that there was a song that said, I'm so in love with you. Whatever you want to do is all right with me, because you make me feel so brand new. And I want to spend my life with you. Then turns around and says, let me say that since, baby, since we've been together. Ooh, loving you forever is what I need. Boy, I wish somebody was hearing me tonight. Let me be the one you come running to. I'll never be untrue. Ooh, baby, let's stay together. Loving you whether times are good or bad, happy or sad. There are some other words, but I often wondered when I heard these words, what made three men come together and write this song? I believe the title says it all. Whether they were married or had significant others, they didn't want to be apart. It is a bad thing to be married and not want to be together. Just based upon what I just said, anybody want to make any comments on that?
You said it all. You said it all. I mean, the bottom line is there's not a lot that could be added to what you put out there, because, I mean, when you talk about that song, Al Green being the actual singer of it, and if it's Huff and his crew. I can't remember everybody that was in his crew when that song was written. I do remember the song, though, and everybody and their grandmama, everybody that's on this phone right now, was in their car cruising. With, you know, they might not have had a diamond in the back with a sunroof top, but they were talking about, let's stay together. But going back to what you're saying, yes, you are right. And thank you for bringing it up again. Yeah, there is no such thing as an irreconcilable differences. We have to recognize and realize the essence of marriage is the building of relationship. And if you're not in the process, and if you're not in a marriage for the purpose of building relationship and becoming a model of what relationship looks like, you're in bad. You got married for the wrong reasons already. I know she's pretty. I know she smelled good. I know she looked good, you know, and she's very shapely, you know, with her little Coke bottle shape. But it goes a little deeper than that. I guess we as men really don't discover that until later in life, you know, because when we first see him, we come up, nine, nine, nine. That's as far as we go. All we saw was the surface. But it took God to help us to see the heart. I'm going to stop right there.
Anyone else want to add anything?
Yes, this is Brother Otis. I have always liked that song, and it seems to me that that was a person, really two persons, because he was so in love with her that he said, whatever you want to do is all right with me. Now,
yeah.
That meant that he was willing to make sacrifices to please her. Now, he did that more than likely because she felt pretty close to had the same sentiments for him, which would say, well, honey, whatever you want to do is okay with me. So they seem to have been perched on pleasing one another, and that is a good relationship. Now, when you have differences, and it gets to the point where it is nearing irreconcilability. Now, that is a strong difference of opinion, difference of morals, difference of principles, ideas that they feel that would be impossible to forgive, to forget, and for the two of us, as long as we maintain those ideas that are so diametrically opposed that we will not be able to stay together. Now, we have free will, and sometimes it's just a choice, and for some of us that is real. So there's no way that I'm going to stay with this person as long as they feel this way, that's a feeling, and behave that some in a way that's compatible and congruent with their feelings. Then that's when we see the divorces, the separations, and hopefully that they would be able to reconcile at one point. But when they do that, someone is going to have to make some sacrifices of principles and morals and ideas.
Okay, okay. Anyone else want to make any comments at this point before we go further?
I want to make another one, but I'm going to wait for everybody else.
Well, they're taking time, and I'm getting ready to move on. Come on.
Okay, well, listen to this. And I heard what you said, Brother Otis. I agree with about 80% of it, and the part that I can't say I don't agree with, but I just have to sort of kind of further investigate it, because when you get to the place and point that you no longer want to do what it takes to please your mate, it doesn't necessarily mean you've fallen out of love with them. It just means that you are no longer willing to do what it takes to bring pleasure to her. That's me. Okay, this is just Ernest 1&1. I'm just voicing my opinion. I'm not debating, but what I am saying is simply this. You also, since you brought that song up, Apostle Whitlow, let's think about this for a minute. Do you remember the song, Somebody's Gotta Win, Somebody's Gotta Lose, Somebody's Got to Play the Fool, Somebody's Gonna Laugh, Somebody's Gonna Cry, Somebody's Gotta Almost Die? This is the roller coaster of life that a lot of marriages go through when they're not willing to be rooted and grounded in God. It's a roller coaster. You go through every last one of those emotions, and you just don't know where you're going to end up. You don't know how it's going to turn out. Most of you hope for the, not most of you meaning on the line, but those listening, you hope for the best. And at the end of the day, you still have that, like you said, Brother Otis, you have that ability to choose whether you want to continue or whether you want to tell that significant other it's time for you to go. That's all I wanted to add.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I will acquiesce on that from a hopeful point of view, that okay, it would be great if
Go ahead, sir.
Oh, okay. Say, I would acquiesce on that, thinking of the ideal situation.
9842 on speaker.
Apostle Smith, you're already on the call.
He's muted. That's what the problem is. I think he's muted. I mean, he's not muted from Kimmy Kim's end. He's muted from his own phone.
Yeah. Go on, Brother Otis.
Oh, okay. I thought. All right. No, I'm just saying that that is idealistic, and I think that's the best approach for a married couple to have in their mind that they want to stay together because they've gotten married, they've passed all the tests that they had for one another, and then they decide that I want to spend every day of the rest of my life with no one but you. And once you've made that decision, that's a heavy commitment, and you don't want to stop that one and then start trying to find another one where you have to go through all of the testing and all those different procedures. So, yes, if you really should, but from my point of view, just try to the nth degree to satisfy your spouse. I will try to satisfy my wife. And I like what you said earlier. We're going to have some differences, hopefully, because we are two different people. And I think I'm a pretty nice guy, but I really would not want my wife to be like me.
642 on speaker.
Oh, don't stop. You have to keep going because
I have to interrupt him. He's trying to call back in. Yeah, Brother Otis, just keep talking. He's trying to call back
in. Then.
Not realizing that he's on the line already.
And so with the irreconcilable, if we could just maybe put that forefront in our conversation with the our significant other, say, listen, if we have decided to get married, I want you, you want me, and we have decided that of all the people that we've met and have known, that this is it for us. So right now during peacetime and happy time and joyful time, let's just decide that we are going to try to please one another. Now, if there's something that you have recognized that could be a small irritant now, bring it up before it becomes a major problem. And I think that is that prevention factor is something that I think can keep couples together. You have a, they have a little small irritant. You don't say anything about it. So if you don't say anything about it, they will continue to perform it. And then after about the 346th time they do that over a period of 16 years, you are about to explode. And sometimes an individual does. And you said they were married for 22 years and got a divorce. It wasn't something that happened at year 22. Something probably happened maybe at year number 9 that never was resolved.
I would say this, and I appreciate what you just said. Here is where, and see, again, we can look at, you did say you were going to take it from a positive perspective, and there is nothing wrong with what you're saying in taking it from a positive perspective. The truth of the matter is, especially generations X, Y, and Z, and I mean, and I bless God for this. This isn't nothing to, for me to hang my hat on. I've done better than 40-plus marriages since having a license to do marriage. Of those marriages, only one couple ended in divorce. And I'm only sharing that because one of the things I would share with them, I would take them through, like I said, I think I said this a few weeks, a few months ago, Apostle Whitlow. I take them through a series of situations and scenarios and paint these pictures for them to tell them what real life is going to be like for them. You know, we did the sickness, we did the health, we did the money issues, you know, we did the struggles, the whole 20 yards, the role reversal, the entire thing. But here's what I've come across. Generations X, Y, and Z, today's generation, high percentage of them, I don't have the numbers in front of me, so I don't want to make up any numbers, but a high percentage of them in the first year are ready to call it quits. Somebody, please, let's talk about what's wrong with that picture that these individuals can't find the will to go for longevity instead of the short-lived thing. I mean, you know, let's stay together. This is what this whole message in and of itself is just simply saying to me, and it's saying to you that it's going to take something for us to get to that place where we can say we have that quote-unquote super glue that's going to take us to where we need to be.
Well, let me address that. Let me jump on there. Let me jump on this bus right quick and put my seatbelt on. So, you said the first year of marriage, people ready to call it quits. Let me come from a female's perspective. What happens is this: we start remembering things that the last person did. right?
Yep.
Soon as the new person start doing what the soon as the new person start doing what the old person does, that irritates her. It irritates him. So you're ready to call a quits, and the first thing that comes out your mouth is, and I've heard it, because I've said it myself, oh, I ain't signed up for this, but you did. There was a covenant. There was an agreement.
That's right.
That you said, for better or for worse. For better or for worse. For better or for worse. Every day, it's Brother Gabriel said it. I believe it was him. Bishop Black, you said it. Every day is not going to be peaches and cream. It's not.
No.
You have to disagree to agree and agree to disagree. You're going to have some bumps in the road. And I'm speaking to myself right now. Every day is not going to be sweet tea and lemonade. You may have some sour milk in there. So you're going to be ready to throw the towel in off of that. You can't. You cannot. There has to be a point of maturity. And again, I'm coming from a woman's side, a woman's perspective. Because one thing that us women do, that when we're sick and tired and fed up with something, we call it quits. Some of us. But after you've finished running for so long, you've got to face that same assignment again. I'm not saying marriage, getting married about 1,120 times. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the more you run from something that you have to deal with, you're going to face it again.
Each time you face it, it's going
to get harder than what it was the last time you ran from it. So stand in the pain. I love to tell people, when I'm with you, I'm 10 toes deep. That means that when you go to the grave, I'm going to the grave with you. That means that whenever you fall short, I'm there to pick you up. See, we miss, as women, we miss the definition of help meet. We miss that. We want to get married because, I'm looking for the white picket fence. Child, please. Ain't no white picket fences over here. We miss that part. So, again, I'm going to say this, coming from my perspective. In order to be a wife, you have to be a daughter first. You have to be taught these things. Then you can become a wife. Because, again, we're looking at the fact that, oh, child, he proposed to me. He made, you know, there was a song out there that was from us. He proposed. Child, that was all he did was propose. That's all you did was a proposal. So, again, we got to keep the reconciliation.
Uh-huh. I wanna go back to something that Brother Otis said, and as he was talking about this song, because something that he said is really standing out, because he says, first of all, I'm so in love with you. Then he says, whatever you want to do is all right with me. Brother Otis said that right there makes a statement that I'm willing to endure whatever you may present. In so many words, that's what he said. Willing to endure whatever you may present. See, now, here's the thing. Because look at this now. Look at this. Because Apostle Christ just said this. When you get before the individual who seals your marriage, right? And when they ask you, do you take this individual for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, and sickness and health, forsaken of all others, so long as you both shall live, right? You right then you say I do. But then you get home, and all of a sudden, you're saying, I didn't sign up for this. So how is it that you didn't sign up for what you said you love? I just want to pause right there. How is it you did not sign up for what you said you love? Somebody help me.
The verbalization I love you. That's not accurate and all too often. Make it real. And the question was, I know you mentioned the, but in the first year, all too often, that's where an abundance of divorces. Now, all too often, or we have this little adage that all marriages are not made in heaven. Of course not.
No.
Nope. All marriages are not made in heaven. That's a little about to hear. And all too often, and all too often, people just get married just impulsively, immaterially, and just because of a hot moment. And then they get married and find out they have absolutely nothing in common at that particular moment that he fell in love while he was making love. And now, and I didn't word
oh,
to that
wow.
song, it said that when we just come out the word that said that I got the song in front of me, as a matter of fact, and it said whatever you do is all right with me. But then on the other line, now I'm getting personal. When I messed up, when I was doing all that begging, and I begged my wife, let's stay together. I promised her I'd do good to be good, but it's almost like I know that we talk about the reconciliation, asking to forgive me. And I am reminded of the nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty sit on the wall, Humpty Dumpty. Now, he is an egg, and all the king's men and all the courts could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And that is the subject in some of the marriages, some of us men, I'm using man because I'm one of them, that messed up. And all the begging that I did, all the areas of saying I'll be good, let's get together for good or better, but for better or worse, well, she took the worst, and she felt that was enough. And apparently, and as I know now, when I reflect on my behavior, it was not, and for that particular time, she had allowed that hurt and grief at a cupboard. And that was just that one little incident, a baby two, that she felt was enough. Back and forth to New York every weekend. In fact, I was almost on remote control because every Friday I was on my way to New York City. And for four years, maybe five, I begged her to come back. But there was no era of reconciliation because of that. But I know there are some times we say these things, and also we just do things. But I know a woman, I've learned this, they can take so much. Sometimes they have this strong area of leap, but sometimes you can feel that you put the glass up and just run over. You can't take no more. That's when they realize it's best to love one another. We can love each other apart. About this, that's the way I'm saying. But I do understand. I understand the area of reconciliation. I understand, but that's something that just cannot be put back together again. Just can't.
I'm looking at this again because there's so many things that pop out. You say I'm so in love with you that whatever you want to do is all right with me. So, again, how do you sign up? How is it that you didn't sign up for what you said you love? That's what someone said. Because then, apparently, he says, he makes a statement in this. He says, because whatever you do, it makes me feel brand new. So there's something about you that's wrong, but it makes me feel brand new. Something that you do that's how it makes me feel brand new. Because he says, I want to spend my life with you. So how do and there's a lot of people, they get tired of spending their life with someone and they don't get a return on what they spent, then they have to turn around and regroup and then spend their life with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But this man says, of all things you do, I want to spend my life with you. So I don't want to invest in you, and then it doesn't work out for me. So he says, let's stay together. Here's where I'm going with all of this. The Lord spoke to me, and again, please, he said, please understand, he said to me that marriage ministry is the ministry of reconciliation, meaning that your entire marriage should be based upon an adjustment of difference. Why? Because we won't always see eye to eye. And though we may say things from love, we don't mean them out of love. Let me say that again. Though we may say things from love, we don't mean it out of love. Can I be truthful? Love will make you look crazy. Boy, I wish somebody would talk to me. Love will make you look crazy. Because
you got it.
I found
that's
out
it. That's it.
Love don't love nobody. Come on. Yeah.
Well, you just spoke on something I just mentioned. I like to, because I'm still reminding of myself of Hosea in that chapter when he was asked by God to go and get his wife, you know, who is a prostitute. Sometimes love is not what's common to the world, but what is common to God.
Okay.
And so love would cause you to do things that the world would say you're crazy. So the love that God is talking about is not the same love that the world speaks about, because the love from the world is based on people, places, and things, but the love from God is love is kind, love is gentle, love is compromising, love does not want its own way. Love is sacrificial. Love is not based on, you know, the feelings. It's based on, you know, on God. And so when I think about John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that's what the husband and wife is called to do, is to, you know, give up each other's lives for one another. So my life, when I get my next husband, it's not my own. It belongs to him and vice versa. And so when we look at it from that perspective, it's different. But that is not sometimes, unfortunately, that it's been taught in the household. People want to just have this eye candy on the outer. But then when they get married, they don't, you know, you got to be careful who you have children with, who you really sleep with, because they could be crazy. And, I mean, crazy in the way where your beliefs are really unbalanced. I mean, equally yoked. I mean, the surface, like having someone on the beautiful on the outside, will fade away. That's why it says in, you know, the versus woman, beauty is vain. It will fade away. But the woman who loves the Lord, her beauty will forever be praised. And when we focus on the outer and not the inner, that's another thing. And then someone just mentioned that everything that the marriage is based on, it may not be from God. Just because you get married doesn't mean it's from God. People just use the sanctuary to get married. And sometimes people don't get counseling. And so when they do get counseling, they don't go through all of the counseling sessions so that they can get to know each other. There are so many reasons why marriage fails. And so, you know, when it's not the foundation built on God's principles, it won't last. And so that is my comment.
All right, now.
Mm-hmm. Next, anyone else?
Yes, most definite. That last statement that was made was, I think, the most operative thing that was said. It said, if not based on God. Now, we can save a lot of time tonight because many people today, and we see this all the time, and of course you ministers know more about than I do, that people, more and more people, are not believing in God.
Right.
that people are becoming more agnostic. There's some people that say they just don't believe in anything. And for some reason, that number is growing. And that that figure you were looking for, we've been reading about that, of course, throughout the year, and that is that 41% of the first marriages wind up in divorce. So we can look at it another way and say that 59% of the first marriages, people stay together. And that's one. And then the second thing, which was also covered during the conversation quite eloquently by my brother, the number one reason for divorces in America is infidelity and followed closely, you know, by financial situations and other issues involving other people, to include, you know, baby mamas and baby daddies and in-laws and outlaws and so forth. So, yes, if we can bring God back into the equation, we will have more marriages staying together.
I agree.
I want to ask this question then. If we're saying that love is compromising, then should there then be a need or a reason for divorce if love is compromising? Now, here's why. I'm going to say something that's probably going to bug somebody. But there is a couple that have been together for years because they have this thing called an open marriage. And if you ask them, they love each other, and they have determined to stay with each other regardless of what takes place because they love each other. So if love is compromising, then is it okay, or should there be a need then for divorce?
Well,
let me just add, let me give a short response to that.
Go ahead.
There are people. Hello?
Go ahead. I can see. Go ahead, brother.
Okay, the short response to that is there are many what would you call so-called open marriages when people are very young, like they just get married in their 20s and 30s and around that area. However, you can find the person who is the one that is more enthusiastic about the open marriage by just asking one question. Say, who suggested that we have an open marriage? Now, that's the person that really would like to have multiple partners and still have the sanctity of being married. And the person who did not make the suggestion more than likely would begin to their enthusiasm in participating in this multiple partner activity begins to wane over the years. Now, I know this might sound sexist, but women tend to like to have a comfortable home, which was not being invaded by other women and other emotional problems. We like to say, oh, this is just for sex. But then when they go to these parties, she noticed her husband would seek out the same woman every time. Now this just for sex has become emotional. So that's what happens. It seems as if after a period of time that there's one partner that would like to, okay, the carnival is over, it's closing, let's go home and act like married people.
Did he just say the
Anyone
carnival
else?
Is over?
He said the carnival
is over. Okay. No, but listen, I hear precisely where he is on that one, and I so appreciate what's actually being shared here, because the truth of the matter is, at the end of the day, and thank you again for those numbers, brother. I knew it was somewhere in the 40s. I just wasn't sure exactly where it was or what it was supposed to be. The bottom line is this: how bad do you want it? And I know, you know, people compromising. Here's the issue with compromise, and let's just do it. We can do it from a Christian perspective. I mean, the same way we treat marriage, those people who compromise with their marriage also compromise with God. I'm just going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's going to be ugly for some people, and I'm saying that from this perspective. Some people have to realize that there comes a point in time when you have got to just make up in your mind that this is what I have, this is what I'm going to be with, this, well, not what, but who I'm going to be with, and this is who I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. All right? What is it that you can't be satisfied with what you have? Do you think that woman, and I'm talking from a man's perspective now, you think that woman wants to share, oh, God, Apostle Whitlow, I need your permission to go a little to the raw side, but not too far. May I do that, sir?
Man, talk yourself,
may I?
Man.
All right. Here it is in a nutshell. What woman in her right mind wants a community weapon? I'll use the word weapon, okay? I'm trying to be respectful. Okay, let's talk raw. What woman you know wants a community penis? This man is taking care of everything in the doggone, in the entire community. And then he comes home to her bringing that girl's germs and that girl's bacteria and that girl's. What woman wants that? Nobody wants that. With today's STDs, which are more devastating than they were back. Well, back in the day, we dealt with syphilis, we dealt with gonorrhea, we dealt with chlamydia, you know, we called it the clap, and we dealt with these things. Now you're dealing with herpes, now you're dealing with AIDS, and you're dealing with other such diseases that have the ability to kill, to end life, period. What woman wants to be subjected to that? Well, for that matter, what man wants to be subjected to that? When they talk about open marriages, these people are not even paying attention to the very fact that not only do they put themselves in jeopardy of possibly contracting any one of these diseases, but from a spiritual standpoint, you are sitting there and combining or joining your spirit to somebody else's spirit. What if that person's schizophrenic? What if that person has a suicidal spirit? What if that person is a murderer? What if that person is a gambler? Just a racist or something. Do you not know that these spirits join in and you can't figure out why you hear all these voices in your head? What's wrong with these people with these open marriages? I'll tell you what's wrong with them. They're flat-out greedy. Flat-out greedy. Not happy with what they have. They got to have more, and they can't even handle what they got. That's all I'm going to say.
Wow.
Ooh, now that was a mouthful right there. That, ooh. I want to get in on that one.
Wow.
Can I have some of that?
Come on.
Listen, so that open marriage thing, yeah, I'm with you with that now. But what I'm seeing here lately on social media, it ain't all the young people. It's the older people now. It's some of these older men, some of these older women, because they figure, you know, why did I get married? You got married because you fell in love with that person.
Four, six, five,
you know,
the
crazy
four,
part
about
it is
speaker.
That, you know, STDs are higher now in older people over the age of 40. Y'all know I work for the health department, so my facts are correct. The STDs and HIV and AIDS are now in higher people in older people. Now, I'm going to say this. When you open your marriage to any and everybody, for those sexual spirits to enter in, the schizophrenic to enter in, the homosexuality to enter in, and all that other kind of stuff, don't call me to come get you, because I'm going to leave you right there. Because what you have now done, that you have placed your entire life on the line for somebody else to get it. And they always community D is doorknob P. That means everybody get a turn. Everybody don't need a turn with that. You don't know what you're turning into and what you're turning out of. That's all I got to say. Amen.
He said doorknob. I don't mean to laugh, but that is funny. Okay?
That means everybody get a turn. Everybody get a turn. Don't nobody, listen, I'm a woman. I don't want a man who all the women say, well, child, I had a turn. The devil's a lie. Come on now. And I'm sure a man does not want a woman that every man in Kansas City done had. Come on. Let's be realistic.
Let's be realistic.
I know we all
let's
ain't pure, but it's a no for me.
There are some folk who are absolutely possessed with sexual privileges, sexual pleasures, sexual passions. There are some people who they are possessed in such a manner. And because of that, they can't get enough. So, I cannot tell you how many times I have watched something on television with the nature of those whose sex drive is beyond what they can even handle. But this is not just about sex. This is about the ones who want to stay together, who will accept anything. Now, when I say that, I'm not just talking about, from the aspect of what the song says, whatever you want to do is all right with me. But I'm talking about from the aspect, you have the one who is abusive. You got the one who is physically abusive, sexually abusive, verbally abusive. Come on. But yet, they want to stay together. She's okay with him knocking the crap out of her, but she wants to stay together because he doesn't want her to go. Then you have the flip side. You have her who is constantly putting them in debt, right? And then when she threatens to leave if she can't have her way, he says, okay, baby, please stay, because I need you to stay. I need you here by my side. Because, again, they want to stay together. I want to show this broad picture of what some people really endure to be together, what some people really go through. You got those who they practice incest within their household. And
all right,
they're comfortable with it. And then they'll say,
oh, baby, let's keep this together, and this will be our secret in our family. What goes on in the house will stay in our house. Why? Because they want to stay together. So this is their adjustment of differences. Why? Because they don't want to lose the favors that they get. They don't want to lose privileges. I don't want people to think this is the reason they should stay together. But I do want them to focus on the adjustments of the difference so that there can be restoration of favor. What do I mean? Well, I'm going to go this way first. There has to be a greater rate of forgiveness being given and accepted in order to stay together in this kind of manner. So the adjustment of a difference is that I'll forgive you though you have wronged me, and I won't hold it against you that you wronged me. This is the thing that I really want to point to, because this is, watch this, because of the scripture says that he has reconciled us unto himself by Christ Jesus, have given us the ministry of reconciliation. There is a similitude here between what God has done concerning the people of the world and what we should do concerning our mates. I know that y'all are saying, well, this doesn't go together, but I'm showing you a similitude, okay? And so this should be the reason we would want to stay together, because we have a ministry of reconciliation. I'm going to say this because we're going to close early tonight and we're going to pick up on some other stuff next week. Here's the thing. One of the greatest reasons that people should want to stay together is because if they're not, then they are not themselves. You are not yourself if your mate is not with you. Why? Because the Bible says the two shall become one. So if you're not with me, then it's hard for me to be me, because we're not together. Having said that, no one in a marriage should ever want to be apart. When I say that, I'm saying there should be no space, no distance, no division, no divorce. Nobody who is married should ever want to be apart. So I'm saying no space unless it is agreed upon for a time of fasting, no distance, no division, no divorce. Divorce comes because of division, distance, and space. But because of the ministry of reconciliation, our mindset should always be, let's stay together. In other words, let's find a way to get past that which would try to pull us apart or keep us apart or stand in the way of us being who we are meant to be. Because I believe that when people first get married, they genuinely love each other. But I think that if you don't understand each other, it causes space, distance, division, and divorce. Boy, I wish somebody would talk to me for just a moment.
All right. There's one thing you said, which is a definite truism. You say if married couples would stay together. Now, that statement alone would reduce most of the divorces, because if they are together, that would reduce the likelihood of infidelity. If you're together with your spouse, then you're not out in the street, you know, looking for, you know, Miss Fly Girl Jane.
Right.
So, yes, that would definitely be a positive asset to add to a marriage. And I guess that's going to have to start at the very beginning. This is not something that can be implemented, you know, maybe 8, 10, 15 years into the marriage, because you have already developed other habits that you may be a little bit fond of and would like to maintain those. So I just go with your first statement. Let's stay together, be together, do things together. And in that last situation we were talking about, the swingers club, there was this couple that they joined the swingers club when they were in their mid-20s, and now they're in their mid-30s, and the woman just stopped liking him. And she said, look, honey, I know these clubs meet every week, and we decided we would come just once a month. Then we started twice a month, then three, then we're here every weekend. And one weekend she said, honey, why don't we just stay home and make love to each other? And she said, her husband looked at her like she had just shot Abraham Lincoln, and said, well, why are we going to do that? And say, because we are married to each other. And he tried to tell about the fun and the we are adults and all this, you know, mumble-jumble that they talked about 10, 12 years ago. And she said, listen, our children are now teenagers, and they're in the room down the hall, not even asleep, and we getting dressed, going out to be with somebody else. And it just doesn't make any sense anymore to her.
All right now.
That is my final statement for the evening, unless you have another question.
Listen, and I like what you said because I have a couple of associates. I don't necessarily call them friends, but they are associates, people that I know who actually at one time were swingers. And similar to what you just shared, that was their story. The wife was ready to kind of just get settled into the husband and let everything else go. The husband wanted to stay out there. Now, the difference is that I don't know if the couple that you knew actually decided to just do what the wife said, but the husband was determined to continue with the swinging without the wife. And so now she goes to court claiming adultery. How do you claim adultery and you were participating in it at one point? How does that happen? I mean, you know,
he might have stopped,
but it was adultery when you started. So now you're mad because he won't stop, but why did you even start to begin with? You follow what I'm saying?
Because she wanted to keep her husband.
No. I'm not challenging her wanting to keep her husband. I'm challenging her even starting to begin with, because I mean, you don't necessarily have to bow down to the madness, but you got to remember everything in life has a consequence. So if you go in with this mentality that you're going to please your husband, as some wives would say, just remember, sweetheart, you open that can of worms. I hope you're ready to fish, and vice versa to the husband. I mean, and I'm going to say this, I know it's a little far-fetched. It's not that far-fetched, but I'm going to say this just as a warning to somebody listening. You might get into swinging. You might get into spending time with other women or other men. You might find out that his apparatus has the ability to make you hit them high notes, or you might find out that her love cave just makes you swelter and go ballistic and lose your mind at climax. Now here's the problem. Here's where, and this couple I just told you about, this is where the whole thing went sour. You get into somebody that rocks your world a little better than your spouse. Now you're trying to figure out how to get with that individual. Tell me it didn't just lead you down a sinful, you're already down a sinful path, but tell me it didn't just lead you down a more sinful path. Talk to me, somebody.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I hear you. I'm listening, and something came to my spirit. Don't y'all laugh at me. Please don't laugh at me. But I heard this in my spirit. If you swing, be careful what you bring, because you may lose a wing, a ring, or a ding. I'm done.
Mm-hmm. And you said it right. You said it
right. And that's
right.
How Mary had a little lamb.
That's what Mary had a little lamb.
She is a man. You know what? Now, I'm going to bring some truth to something you always say, Apostle Flight. In a scenario of what we just discussed in the last 5 minutes, many have died and never died before.
Listen,
it's the
and
truth.
They will never be back.
They ain't never going to come back.
You hear me what I say? Never.
And see,
so
now,
why would I
now,
even play with my life and my soul like that?
Exactly. Now, I'm going to throw something out there. If you've ever seen the movie Thin Line, Della Reese made a statement in that movie, and she said this, and it holds true. I don't care who's listening. You don't have to listen to me, but listen to these words. Martin Lawrence was playing her son. She said a moment of pleasure can bring a lifetime of pain. There are people who are dealing with HIV, people who are dealing with all kinds of dreadful diseases to this day because they had that moment of pleasure. That moment of pleasure brought them a lifetime of pain.
That's it.
Tell them to call me later.
I'm going to share something with y'all before we go. Now, I'm talking about a friend told me, okay? A friend told me that on Marlboro Pike, 4928, a friend told me that that building across from Sam's Car Wash was a swingers club.
Oh, wow.
It is now a church. Now, I have a friend, and he was there quite often. And on any given weekend, especially holiday weekends, husbands and wives, doctors and lawyers, preachers and preachers were there. Husbands and wives. Together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm telling you, this friend of mine, okay, I know him real good. He was there for those various parties. And it's the truth, but that church it is building now is a church. Inside there, when it was a swingers club, they had a swimming pool, they had a sauna, and upstairs, it was a swingers club, and it was full on various weekends. And then there were times when the men went there, they would have to bring a woman with them, but the women could always get in free. But if you ever ride down that road and look at from Sam's Car Wash on Marlboro Pike, 4928 Marlboro Pike.
Is now a church.
It used to be a single club. That was before AIDS and everything. And one time when it caught on fire, that's when they decided to close it down and start opening up somewhere else in D.C. and Maryland. So they are very real, and they are very And then when they say swingers club, that don't mean they got the swing on the porch. That is, we famous couple that, for whatever reason, the advertising on news, TV, and everything that they have an open marriage. And that's Will Smith and Jada Pinkett.
And yes, I was going to mention that.
So this is not at all. It is wide open, and they have the protective measures, all that kind of stuff, using prudence and things like that. But it's very real.
I mean, Brother Reverend Billy, you can have all the protective measures in the world. It only takes that one moment.
I'm going to show you something.
And I know you want to end, Apostle Whitlow. And I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm going to say this because the principle remains the same. The Bible first and foremost says the wages of sin is death. I'm going to stop right there. We know what it says, the rest of the scripture. If you want to work to die and you want to practice or go into practices that could literally spiritually and physically kill you, let me equate what you're doing to this. We're sitting here in this day and age fighting with coronavirus, and it's a virus we cannot see. It's a virus that's in the air. Does anybody find it strange that we can pass flaxins from our butt cheeks through our undergarments out of our jeans and somebody can still smell it? The principle is simply this. What makes you think with all the protective things you have in place, what makes you think that you still wouldn't be susceptible to the disease at some point? All it's got to do is make contact with your skin and with the bacteria that's already on your body. And boom, oops, there it is.
Well, that's right now in every aspect of life right now. That's everywhere. It's in the air.
Well, I was making that analogy to the sensual part for those who want to swing and have these open marriages. And I know somebody's listening. There's somebody on this radio, on a radio program somewhere in these continental United States and around the world considering going into one of these things. I'm going to warn you here, and I'm going to warn you now. You heard the word. Now, you can go ahead if you want to, but you know, I know you don't know me, but I'd say don't bother to call the pastor because you had every opportunity to stay whole, to stay healthy, and to stay happy. You chose to kill yourself. I'm not saying kill yourself. You've already done it because that young lady that you snuck off into the hotel with, when she got up the next morning and wrote in lipstick right on the mirror, "Welcome to the wonderful world of AIDS," guess what? Everybody don't tell everything. Everybody don't share everything with you. You know, hey, you know, my name is Ernest. What's your name? Sally. Okay, Sally, I mean, I'd like to get with you. Okay, that's no problem. Little did you know that Sally was a walking, ticking time bomb with a deadly disease. You never asked her about herself. You never talked about her medical history. She never talked about yours. I mean, I know I'm getting a little far-fetched, but the truth of the matter is it's better to stay in the ark of safety than to wander out onto a minefield and get blown up.
I want to thank each and every one of you tonight for sharing with me as we have begun this subject. Let's stay together. I want to go further in this particular passage, but I really want to deal with this ministry of reconciliation, which the Lord really spoke to me about. And I want you to join me on next week, Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central. We are going to go deeper into this particular subject. I just wanted to crack this open on this evening. So I say thank you to Bishop-elect Richard, Apostle Vincent L. Smith, although he didn't get to speak outside of telling his phone to call us, Apostle Felicia Price, Brother Otis and Lady Otis Gabriel, and Reverend Billy Great Gabriel, and Dr. Kimmy Robinson. I want to thank all of you for your input, for your insight, for sharing. Again, we're going to go deeper with the help of the Lord next week, should he delay his coming and spare our lives. In Jesus' name. Again, welcome back to Making Marriage Meaningful, and our motto remains the same. Your marriage will be meaningless until your mate becomes meaningful. Well, with God, any well, go with you. Dr. Kimmy, do me a favor and drop that track. Until next week, we say peace. Shalom, shalom. Good night.
Give me a heart. Give me a heart where your love surpass. Give me a heart that's soft as a whisper, able to stand in the toughest winter.
Give me a heart.